Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Chris, and welcome to Strength for Today from Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2020. We've been looking at life principles, foundational biblical principles from God's Word upon which we can confidently build our lives. And thus far, I have suggested seven. Those seven, I believe, are true and biblical. But as I thought back over them yesterday, I concluded that something was lacking. The way they were stated did not have the direct applicational force I'd initially intended. So what to do? Well, as often as best in such cases, I paused and did a glance about and tried to reorient myself. Then I rummaged around for a metaphorical compass, something that would help me set my course, and pulled out not a compass, but a group of questions. Those questions ran something like this. What principles would I want my children to hear and incorporate into their lives? Or, given what I know now, what principles do I wish I had fully learned and incorporated as a young person? And, what principles do I want to embrace now as I go forward? Well, these questions proved to be like keys that unlocked doors that had been blocking my way. I think these questions will permit me and us to move in good directions, directions that will be mutually beneficial. So now, having reoriented myself and our discussion, here is the principle for today. Love the Lord with all you've got. Love the Lord with all you've got. This principle is given as a command to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it is given in the context of the great Mosaic Law, the covenant established between the Lord and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. Consider the backdrop. God had heard the groaning, the tears of the Israelites as they lived as slaves in Egypt. He had seen their misery and had raised up a deliverer, Moses, to go to Pharaoh to order the release of the people, to work signs and wonders. And what wonders God did work through Moses, culminating in the death of all firstborn sons apart from those protected by the blood of a lamb, the Paschal lamb. And thus God freed his people through Moses leading them through the Red Sea, through a wall of water on either side. And the Israelites had witnessed the destruction of their enemies as God released the waters and obliterated the pursuing Egyptian armies. In all this, God demonstrated that he, not the gods of the Egyptians, but he was the one true God. Yes, he differentiated himself from all other so-called gods, declaring himself verbally and powerfully to be Yahweh, the self-existent one, the true God, Yahweh. It was this true, all-powerful God, Yahweh, who entered into a covenant relationship at Mount Sinai with the people whom he had delivered. And now he tells the people what he wants. He wants their wholehearted love. He wants their hearts. He wants their all. Many years later, Jesus was asked by the Israelites to comment on this covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And he was asked which of all the commands Moses had given them, which the chief or foremost was. And to this question, without hesitation, Jesus answered, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." All the rest, he said, flows from this one. There are many other historic biblical and theological themes we could trace here, but I want to move on to its meaning for us today. The Israelites generally failed to obey this command. Why? Because the law, righteous as it was written on tablets of stone. It failed to impart life, serving only rightly to condemn, and to condemn those who did not follow it. But we are not in the position of the Israelites in the Old Testament. We, believers, have the privilege to live in these last days, when Jesus has come, died on our behalf, been risen, has ascended, and when the Holy Spirit has descended in a unique way, indwelling believers, imparting to them new life, and forming them into a new people, the church, which can indeed obey this principle. Let me make this personal. As a young man, before I was born again and had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was told by others that I should love the Lord. but I didn't. I found it impossible and undesirable to will myself to do so. He was, I thought, a block in my path. He was the one who, if he existed at all, I thought, issued joy-killing commands and sucked the marrow out of my life. That was at best. At worst, I considered him the author of every bad thing that happened to me and to others. I did not love him, nor could I. But then I experienced God's grace. At the age of 21, I was reborn, spiritually born, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and my spiritual eyes and ears were opened to see and to hear who God is and what he had done for me. I saw then that long before, while I was still his enemy, Christ had died for me, on my behalf, and that God had thus demonstrated his love for me. And I learned that this profound, extraordinary love was not extended to me alone, but to all the world. Thus God had loved the world that he had given his Son. So at the age of 21, I came to know God as he is, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, compassionate, and faithful, all fully expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. In short, I came to know that God is perfect love, and that his perfect love is perfectly expressed in Jesus Christ. And then I learned that his command was that I should love him. His command? At that point, I hardly needed his command. I had known utter darkness. I had known the chains of depravity that had encircled my mind and the misery, the despair they had occasioned. And I had experienced the coming of the light. I had felt the warming rays from the dayspring on high. I had seen the chains broken, the manacles fall to the ground, and I had been freed to walk, to live, to love as I never had before. And I already loved him. I already worshipped him. I already thanked him for the gift that he had given me at the cross. In other words, when his command to love him came, I found that his command was already something I longed to do from the depths of my very heart. Oh, but there's a catch here, isn't there? The authority of my old habits may have been broken, but still those lusts or passions lurked in the recesses of my mind, waiting for the day when I would grow accustomed to God's grace and lukewarm in my faith. And then they would call to me, issuing siren calls only God's grace would enable me to resist. So now, finally, I'm down to the practical stuff. This is the principle as I would reteach it to myself and teach it to my children. First, consider the world and all that is in it, and recognize that it all has been created by one almighty, one all-powerful, one utterly holy God, who dwells in the high and holy place, Yahweh, the one, the true, the only God. Second, observe the depth and height and depth, width of God's love for the world in the giving of himself on the cross to reconcile humanity to himself. See the valuation he set, the sacrifice he offered, the suffering he endured. Third, rejoice in your experiential knowledge of spiritual life in and through Jesus Christ. Know that this is indicative of the Spirit's work of regeneration within you, and for it give thanks to God. Fourth, remember the gush of love you first experienced when you came to know the one who first loved you. Remember the misery of life without Christ. Remember your bondage to sin. Remember the darkness of your soul before the light of the world first entered. Remember your first love. And there, then, fifth, respond. Respond to his love by loving him with your all. At this point, I think we can discuss some practical matters. Let's start with this. What does it mean exactly to love God with all you've got? Well, I think it means to value him above all else, to prize him, to value him. God, his fame, his honor, his glory, his name, above your own, above your spouses, your families, your communities, or your nations. It means prizing him more than your life. It means being willing to sacrifice everything for him, to honor him, to serve him, to follow him, to proclaim him. It means ultimately giving everything he has entrusted to you back to him, saying, "Oh God, it is all yours. Show me how you want to use it, and I will use it that way, even down to your very breath." That's on the one side. On the flip side, I think it means saying no to all self-promotion. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying here that we have to act like we don't exist or accomplish anything. No. But what I am speaking of here is our tendency towards self-seeking, to putting ourselves first, to putting our wants, our interests, our desires first, before and above His. So to wrap up, here's the principle again. Love the Lord with all you've got. Remember all He has done for you in Christ Jesus. Rekindle the embers of your first love for Him, and respond with a passionate, all-consuming devotion for Him, for Yahweh. And always remember, the best is yet to come. God bless.